Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Eagle Hour. Glad to have you with us today, Kelly and Bob from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg this afternoon. Glad you're with us around the state, wherever you're tuned in on a Super Talk affiliate or, of course, online at supertalkhattiesburg.com, supertalklaurel.com. supertalk.fm.com and all sorts of platforms throughout the afternoon. Glad to have you with us. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, as it is every day. Great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics and, of course, the Eagle Hour, and a great weekend for you to enjoy some delicious barbecue at Dickey's. All right, we're going to be talking to Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald later, but as we've been promoting all week, we are very happy to have former Southern Miss head coach and head coach at North Carolina, Larry Fedora, on the show with us. And Coach Fedora, great pleasure to have you on the Eagle Hour, and thank you, sir, for your time.
Well, I appreciate it, Bob. I'm excited to be on here, and Kelly, it's been a long time.
It has, Coach. How's Dylan doing, first of all? Your son, Dylan Fedora, who played at Oak Grove High School here locally?
Yeah, he's doing fine. He lives out in Austin, Texas, and, you know, he just living life right now.
There's a pretty good college football team in Austin, Texas, I hear tell.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Coach, we're really happy to have you on the show. We've been promoting it all week, and we know that our listeners around the state of Mississippi are really happy to hear from you. And before we get into your history at Southern Miss and all the things we want to ask you about, I do want to mention this reunion that your 2011 conference championship team is having. We talked to your former punter yesterday, and Austin Davis going to be on the show Monday. I'm sure you're excited to get back with these young men, and boy, that was some football team you put together in 2011.
Well, it was. It was a pretty special team, to be honest with you, from top to bottom, and they had a tremendous bond and a tremendous work ethic, and you know, they had kind of a chip on their shoulder, and that's the way they played the game. And you know, that's the reason we were successful.
You know, your last 2 years, I was reading this morning, your team went 20-7, and you know, it really just it sort of got to the mountaintop on the day that you played number 6 Houston, and they were just being promoted like crazy on ESPN all through the pregame. And we've talked to a number of your guys from that team, and they said they could tell early on, looking in the eyes of the Houston players, that they realized that this wasn't going to turn out like they thought. And they credit you with that. They say you really had that team motivated, and they just felt unbeatable when they went on the field that day. What was the key that day, Coach?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, first of all, we had really good players, and they were a close team. They cared about each other. They loved each other, and they played hard for each other. And like I said, that chip on their shoulder was the key. I mean, I'll never forget the night before, we would always take the team to a movie. And, you know, so we all went to the movie, and we got back on the buses, and ESPN was on the TVs, and they were talking about Championship Saturday. And, you know, they went through, and they had everybody's logo on there, and they were talking about each conference, and they got down to Conference USA, and they started talking about Houston. And then when it was time to talk about Southern Miss, they didn't say a word. And I'm sitting in the front seat, and one of our players in the back, he stood up in front of everybody, and I mean, had a few choice words to say. And at that point, I kind of smiled. I knew we weren't gonna need to do anything. You know, I mean, our guys were ready to play, and they were excited, and they were gonna prove that too many people you know, they kind of took on the slogan that they don't know, and people just didn't know how good we were.
Right, and you had the best quarterback on the field that day. Is that fair to say?
On that day, we did, you know, and I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for Case Keenum and obviously what he did afterwards, and I thought he was deserving of being at the Heisman that year, but I think because of that game, it didn't happen, and Austin Davis outplayed him that day. He really did, and our defense had something to say about that, I will assure you.
Right.
Coach, when you first got the job at Southern Miss, you come as a coordinator at Okie State. Sometimes when coordinators get elevated to the head coaching position, it gets lost in translation. There are some guys that really struggle, you know, from the coordinator position going to the head coach position, but it seemed to fit you like a glove. What was it about your skill set in retrospect you think that attracted Southern Miss to you?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, people kind of tend to forget. I mean, I think we were 2-6 at the beginning, you know, and Coach Bowers had just won every year for, you know, about 58 years. And so, you know, there were a lot of people doubting and wondering why they hired me. But, you know, we finally got it going and ended up winning that year and going to a bowl game and won the bowl game and kind of kick-started us and got us going. And so, you know, it was just I had spent a long time. I'd been coaching for a while and had prepared myself to be a head coach. And I knew I had some opportunities before Southern Miss, but I didn't ever feel that they were the right thing. But when Richard Giannini called about Southern Miss, I knew that was the school for me. And I was excited to go and then hired a good staff, and we took off from there.
In the midst of that 2-6 start, though, was there ever a time, candidly, that you thought for even a second, oh, boy, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be?
Well, I tell you what, sure. At night, you know, every night when you went to bed, those thoughts would creep into your head. But, you know, I had a firm feeling about the philosophy, and I knew it was a good philosophy. I knew it would work. I knew if we stuck with it, we would be okay. You know, and the easy part about it is we had guys on that football team you know, that just believed that they really did. And the seniors bought in and, you know, they were the ones, no matter what, they never gave in. And eventually we got it going.
Coach, you did replace Jeff Bauer, and you're right. Jeff Bauer had been here a long time. He was a Southern Miss guy. He had won a lot. What sort of pressure did that add to the job for you, if any?
Well, for me, it really didn't. I mean, but if you listen to the talk shows and if you read the newspaper and all of those things, it would have created a lot of pressure. But I knew that I just felt comfortable with what we were doing. I had confidence, and I believed in what we were doing. I believed in our system, and I knew eventually it would work. And lucky for us, it happened about midway through that season.
I'm gonna give you two stats, and I want you to comment on both. And I gathered both of those this morning. You produced overall the four most prolific offenses in program history at Southern Miss, but you also graduated players at the highest rate in school history in your tenure here, Coach.
Well, you know, we were proud of the fact that we were selling both. You know, we were selling the opportunity to come to a great school with great tradition and get a great education. And that was something that we promised every mother, grandmother, father that we talked with. And you know, we were committed to that. And our guys came in, and it was kind of a no-nonsense approach. You were going to go to class, and you were here to get a degree. And we were going to play, you know, great football on top of that. And so I'm proud of the fact of that. I'm proud for those guys, and I'm proud of what they're doing now in life.
How do you get that high graduation rate? And Jeff Bauer, we should say, had a really high graduation rate himself. But what do you do as a head coach to ensure that that happens? Because clearly, clearly what's on the mind of these kids is playing football.
Sure. Well, we had really good academic support people, and as coaches, we supported them. You know, and the way I did things was that, you know, if you were the quarterback coach, you know, which was Blake Anderson, then you were in charge of the quarterbacks, and that meant you were in charge of everything they did, both on the field and off, and I held you responsible for that. And so if you were the O-line coach or the D-line coach, you were responsible for your guys, and that meant you were responsible for what they did on campus, off campus, at home, anywhere, and that's a lot of pressure on an assistant coach, but those guys took pride in it, and, you know, we had very few problems during that time.
when coaches become coaches, they take bits and pieces of men who have influenced them throughout their career. Is there one particular coach, Larry Fedora, that had a bigger influence on you than any other? And if so, who?
You know, I've been, it's kind of like that when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know, he didn't get there by himself. That's me. I mean, there are so many people that have been involved in my lives that helped me get to where I got to. I mean, and that started, you know, when I was coaching high school ball, a guy by the name of Scott Smith, and then on to Grant Taft and Fisher DeBerry, Chuck Reedy and Andy McCollum and Ron Zook and just all these guys that I coached under and then also coached with. And, you know, it's not that every coach you're with is a great coach, but you learn things that you want to do whenever you get that opportunity, and you also learn things you don't want to do, you know, and so you learn in every situation, and I was very fortunate to be around some really good coaches.
We're talking to former head football coach Larry Fedora, also the head coach at the University of North Carolina. Coach, if you can hang with us, we've got a short break. Want to talk to you about the current state of college football and some other matters. Are you good with that?
You bet.
Coach Larry Fedora, everybody, on the Eagle Hour. We're excited to have him. We know you're excited to hear from him, and we'll continue our conversation right on the other side of the break.
To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, glad you're with us on a Friday afternoon. We're talking to former head coach Larry Fedora. Glad to have him on the Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. It's a great place to go for all your Southern Miss apparel, for yourself, for your house, for your car. They're open 6 days a week on Hardy Street. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald joining us in the next segment, but we want to do another segment with Coach Larry Fedora while we've got him. And Coach, I want to tell you something I read this morning on Wikipedia about you, and I wanted to see if you would comment on that. It said that in 2018, you were pretty critical of a proposed kickoff rule change that was being discussed in football, and you said you feared the game would get pushed so far to one extreme that people wouldn't recognize the game in 10 years. Does that still concern you, Coach Fedora?
Well, I think that with everything that you see that's happening in college football, not just the rules on the field, but the things that are happening off the field, I don't think it's ever going to be the same. The toothpaste is out of the tube. I mean, it's never going back. And so it's going to be interesting to see the direction that college football goes.
Right, and that leads me to this question, and I've been waiting all week to hear your observation of this new rule that allows players basically to make money. We see that the University of Miami has an entire team sponsor now. I read this morning, this is hard to believe, and this is not football related, but there's a young lady at the LSU that is a gymnast that may get a $1 million endorsement. What do you think this is going to do to college football, and do you like this or dislike this, Coach?
It's hard. You know, I mean, am I happy that the players are going to be compensated in some way? I guess I am, but I don't. You know, with the cost of attendance and the changes that they had made in the last few years, there were no players that I knew of that either played for me or that I was familiar with that were hurting financially. I mean, they all had money. They were all eating good. They were all being taken care of. You know, now it's, I've got no idea where this thing's going now, and I'm not sure anybody does. You know, and it's, I don't know, it's very interesting. It's really interesting. I mean, when you see these, what's happening out there with some of these players and some of these teams, and we're just at the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you haven't heard what's going to happen to the players in the SEC or in the ACC, and you haven't heard from a lot of these schools yet what's going to happen. So it's really interesting. I know every coach and AD out there is trying to figure it out and trying to figure out what they need to do, because it all boils down to recruiting. And I think now you got kids that are going to sit in that living room and they're going to just want to know what the number is. You know, how much money am I going to make? And they're going to go to the highest bidder, and that's where they're going to end up.
And that's completely different than what you've done in your career in recruiting, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you never talked about money. All you talked about were the opportunities and the education that you were going to provide and the connections and the network that they were going to make within the university and all those things. And so, you know, I think it's totally different now. I'm not sure that, that many kids will be looking for that family atmosphere as much as they are going to be looking at that bottom line.
I think at Southern Miss, it goes without saying we couldn't talk about money because we don't have any.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. You didn't. But back then, at least when I was there, that wasn't a concern. That's not what people wanted to do. People wanted to win. And, if they had an opportunity to win and get a good education and they were, held accountable for what they did, I think they were happy about it.
Coach Fedora, one of the things that people still talk about, so much so that I'm not sure what's fact and what's fiction, was when the Hawaii Bowl, your last year, you guys went to play at the Hawaii Bowl. Some people thought you guys should have gone to Dallas. You know, there was just all kinds of stuff out there as to how that all came down. Could you just tell us, fact
sure.
or fiction?
That was the year that, there was a clause in the bowl there at Memphis, the Liberty Bowl, that they could take somebody besides the champion of Conference USA that year. And so Richard Giannini came to me and said, we're not going to be able to go to the Liberty Bowl. And he said, there's a bowl in Dallas, there's a Hawaii Bowl, and there was one other one that he proposed. And he said, we're going to let you and the team make that decision, because the team was, they were let down that they were going to go represent Conference USA in the Liberty Bowl. And so we talked about it as a team, and we made the decision. And Richard allowed me to make that decision, and we chose to go to Hawaii. And and I don't regret it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, we had, maybe 110, 115 guys on that football team, and some of them, they had the time of their life. And they may never have that opportunity to ever go to Hawaii again in their lives. And so it was just an extraordinary opportunity and an extraordinary time for them. And, we were a really good football team, and that was their, that was their reward at the end of the season. And so I'll never look back on that decision. No one will ever convince me that it was, the wrong decision.
It's interesting you say that, because I've traveled with different teams, as a play-by-play person over time, and when teams have been to places where an ocean is nearby, it's almost always on the agenda. And I mentioned to Coach Steve Knight at William Carey one time, I said, what's the infatuation with the ocean? I made that observation, and he said, you may not believe this, but he said about 90% of these kids have never even seen
I believe that completely. I took years ago a softball team to the state tournament on the Gulf Coast, and there were five or six kids on that team that were they were enamored. They had never seen the Gulf of Mexico in their lives. So, yeah, that's a big part of it, isn't it, Coach? Yeah. Give them an opportunity to do something.
That's the reward at the end of the season for those kids, and for them to be able to go to Hawaii, something that, like I said, some of them would never, ever do that in their life. I mean, they'll always have that. And you talk to any of them, and when we get together in November, they'll talk about that trip and the fun they had. And I can assure you, if I would have talked them into going to Dallas, it would not have been the same experience. And I would have regretted that for them.
How forward are you looking to being back with these guys here in November, Coach?
Well, I'm really excited, and I'm so glad that Peter's been a big part of that, Peter Boehm, and the athletic department is wanting to recognize the team. And so, it's been great hearing from the guys. And they've already started who was best, the offense or the defense. and the arguments have already started. And, they keep reaching out to me, all right, Coach, go ahead and set the story straight. Our defense was the best, or our offense was the best, you know. And so it's been a lot of fun reconnecting with those guys. It really has, and I can't wait to see them.
Well, let me just tell you now, we're going to get back in touch with you prior to that. We'd love to get you back on our show when you get in town for that, you know, if you think you'll have time for that. But before we wrap up the interview, I want to bring up this point. You took the school to the mountaintop in 2011. One of your predecessors, Todd Monken, took the school back to the championship game about 4 or 5 years later. I'm sure you guys know each other. And certainly yep. You two go down as two of the great coaches that ever came here. And there's now a new regime in place. You know, if you were asked to give advice to the new coaching staff about how do you get Southern Miss back where they were, what would your advice be, Coach Fedor?
Well, you know, I have had the opportunity to talk to Will a few times on the phone. I'm really excited for him, and I think he's going to do a great job. I really do. You know, I mean, my advice would be, hey, you know, believe in what you believe in, you know, and don't falter from it. It's not going to always be, you know, an easy path. Just stick with what you believe and don't worry about what everybody's saying, and you'll get them there. I mean, Will's a Mississippi guy. He understands what, you know, how important football is at Southern Miss. And he understands what it's going to take. And, you know, as long as he sticks to his guns and works hard every day and coaches those kids hard, cares about them, he's going to have success.
Final question I have for you, Coach. We talked about your son, Dylan. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about your lovely daughters. And I would imagine, as you've been blessed with some beautiful kids, but I would imagine when your daughters brought a date home that those guys would have been terrified knowing that their date's dad.
They do blame me for that. Actually, you know, the unfortunate thing is I wasn't home a lot. I was always working and coaching. And so, but yeah, I mean, I've got a great family. I've got my son, Dylan, and then Sydney and Peyton and Hallie and, you know, Sydney actually lives in Nashville and lives with a girl there from Hattiesburg and still has a lot of friends up in the Nashville area from Hattiesburg. And so, you know, and I've got so many dear friends there in Hattiesburg and can't wait to get back, to be honest with you. It's been a great place. And like I said, I worked for one of the greatest athletic directors in the country in Richard Giannini. I was very fortunate to be able to do that. So Hattiesburg's got a great, you know, it's got a soft spot in our hearts, and it always will. It's always going to be one of our favorite places.
Hey, Coach Fedor, we're grateful to you for coming on the show. We had a great conversation. Really, really enjoyed speaking with you. Hope that we can do that again soon. And on behalf of all Southern Miss people that listen to the show around the country, thank you for all you did to better the football program at Southern Miss.
Well, thank you so much. And guys, anytime y'all want me, I'll be on.
All right, Coach. Coach Larry Fedor, everybody, former head football coach, University of Southern Mississippi. Great conversation, Kelly Center.
Oh, he was a lot of fun. That exuberance and energy is what showed on the sidelines, and it showed in his players, too.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Our thanks to former head football coach Larry Fedor for a very entertaining and I think great conversation. Really do appreciate coach's time. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. What a great place to go for lunch 5 days a week, and what a great place it would be tonight to go watch a Major League Baseball game and enjoy the best pool boy sandwich you'll find anywhere in Hattiesburg. 4th Street Bar and Grill, appreciate their support of the Eagle Hour. All right, we're going to go down to the Gulf Coast. Patrick McGee, sports editor for the Biloxi Sun-Herald, joining us on a Friday. I had my days mixed up this week and kind of messed Patrick around, but we've got it straight, and he was willing to come on today, and we're glad. Great timing, Patrick. We just finished a pretty extensive interview with Larry Fedor, who was 34-19 in his tenure here at Southern Miss, 20-7. In his last 2 years, and of course finished with a conference championship win over the number 6th ranked team in the country. Looking back, what imprint did Larry Fedora leave on the Southern Miss football program, Patrick?
Well, it's a good question, and we could really kind of get deep into it, but I think at no time throughout Southern Miss's football history have more people been talking about, were more people talking about Southern Miss football than when Larry Fedora arrived in the 4 years that followed. It was a time where there was really kind of a excitement with it was at a pretty good high. I mean, there's been a lot of seasons where Southern Miss fans were engaged and going to games, but it just seemed like it was a different level whenever Larry Fedora came in. He had that kind of that charisma and the energy that really a lot of fans kind of craved. And you know, Jeff Bauer obviously was a big time winner at Southern Miss, but he was somebody that kind of, you know, he liked coaching football. He didn't really want to kind of create, you know, I mean, he just wanted to focus on the game. But Larry Fedora, he knew there was a little bit of a kind of a Hollywood to it,
right?
I guess you could say. And it was a big change. And I think the way they recruited and the level of talent they brought in, it really kind of put Southern Miss football on a level that we really haven't seen since or even previously in terms of going out and getting pretty good level recruits.
Well, no question. And you made a very interesting point, and it brought back memories of tailgating with my family and friends at a couple of homecoming games and big games on the campus during Fedora's tenure. And Patrick, I mean, the place was a buzz with fans. I mean, the campus was crowded. The atmosphere was there, and it was electric in the football stadium.
Yeah, I mean, fans were engaged because they thought, you know, they could really compete and hang with anybody. And Southern Miss has always kind of had that back over the last two or three decades under Bobby Collins, you know, and Curly Hallman. I mean, it's been there, but it felt different under Larry Fedora, at least, you know, post, you know, 1990. You know, so I mean, it was a time. You know, I remember looking back to that game whenever they hosted Virginia and won that game. That was really kind of the last time. Well, it's not, you know, we can kind of count the Mississippi State game, but anytime you bring in state, you're going to have a packed stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back on that Virginia game was kind of a moment to where you saw people really plugged in and just absolutely wanted to be at that game. And it was to me that's a game I look back to as a high point in fan interest. I really don't even look back to say 2015 in that Mississippi State game.
Right, 20-7 in his last 2 years, and in his final game, they had just demolished the number 6th ranked team in the country. And as we pointed out to him, Todd Monken got the program back to the championship game
right. About
5 years later. But really, nobody's gotten it back to the level that Fedora left it at. Fair to say?
No, it really has. I mean, Southern Miss football, you know, that one season with Todd Monken was really kind of, you felt like, okay, here we go again. We're kind of getting back to a point to where fans are excited and you're playing at a really high level. But, you know, obviously Ellis Johnson happened and then Jay Hobson, you know, kind of got them back to being competitive, but it just felt like things really plateaued and fell off last year. So, yeah, it's the Larry Fedora days are definitely the good old days right now.
No question. All right, you got an article coming out first of next week. You're talking about five breakout players that the Golden Eagle fan base could see this year. And I know you're not going to reveal everything about your article. You want people to go to it Monday. But kind of give us a preview, Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, here recently I've done a lot of kind of breaking down and talking to Will Hall and Austin Armstrong, the defensive coordinator, and going through really position by position and going over all these new players, that transfers they brought in. It's all been behind the paywall, so I appreciate everybody that subscribed to the Sun Herald here recently. So what I'm going to do on Monday is a piece where I'm listing the top five guys just after all the conversations, and you look at the big picture where you see some of these new guys and one or two guys that are returning. And, you know, who under Will Hall, who is going to be the guy that really kind of step up and take advantage of the opportunity in that first season and really thrive under that new Will Hall staff? So I picked out five, and I'll probably throw in five more to watch or something like that. Some other guys to keep an eye on, but it's, you know, there'll be some obvious characters, but maybe some other guys that people aren't necessarily thinking about right now.
How do people access your articles? I think they ought to know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're actually, I mean, just a little tidbit here lately. The Sun Herald's been sending out special deals. I think they usually send them out. If you follow Sun Herald on Twitter, you'll see the occasional deal that'll pop up. It'll be like four, you know, like July 4th. I think we had some $4 deal. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. Always keep an eye. You know, I'm smart. I try to look for the good deals. So keep an eye out for that. But if they go to sunherald.com, and the best way to show that Southern Miss fans support our coverage there at the Sun Herald is to subscribe through one of my stories. One of my stories is behind the paywall, because once people do that, it immediately registers all the way up to the big wigs in McClatchy, which is our parent company, owns the Kansas City Star, the Miami paper, a bunch of different. So the more people that subscribe to our coverage at the Sun Herald, the more it registers with people in charge, knowing that Southern Miss coverage is something worth investing in. So
and nobody covers Southern Miss like Patrick McGee. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Patrick. Go ahead.
No. Interrupt me anytime if you want to praise me. I'm fine.
No, go ahead. Finish what you were going to say, though.
No, I'm just saying, if you just subscribe through one of my paywall stories, and that really kind of registers all the way up the chain.
All right. Yeah, and when you think about it, we had a guest on the show earlier this week, Patrick, and unsolicited, as he was walking out the door, he said, "Thank goodness for the Sun Herald." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?"
That's right.
Yeah. he said, "Well, you know, Hattiesburg American doesn't hardly cover Southern Miss at all, and it's right here in the backyard." Mm-hmm. And Clarion Ledger has gotten to be, in his opinion, you know, kind of another mouthpiece for the SEC, as if it needs another mouthpiece. So you do have a lot of fans and supporters out there. I'm just wondering, though, it's one thing to be excited and optimistic about the season, but are we going overboard with the expectations? I mean, with a new coaching staff coming in here, and even though they have said there's a lot of talent on board and more than they expected, are we over-expecting?
Well, no, I'm not somebody that's pumping up expectations. I think 5 or 6 wins this season is a realistic goal. You know, if you get to bowl eligibility, that is a major success in your number one Will Hall. I've explained to Bob and everybody else that Southern Miss is in a position to where, if you look back on the college baseball season, you had a bunch of guys come back. You saw Louisiana Tech full of like 5 and 6 year seniors, and Southern Miss had a few of those guys. But there's going to be a lot of guys at some of these other programs within Conference USA. There's the potential to see more depth on some of these other teams in Conference USA compared to a Southern Miss coming in. I think Southern Miss is okay depth-wise just via the transfer portal and guys they brought in. But I think some of these other teams are going to have more depth. So what's got to happen for Southern Miss is they've got to have a season where they stay especially healthy and the guys they've brought in making, you know, an outsized impact. So it's a lot of things have got to go right for Southern Miss to say you hit that 6 or 7 win mark.
I'll tell you too, Patrick, I think one guy that they have to keep healthy is Trey Lowe. Now, I've been talking about Trey Lowe for a while, and then the performance that he had this spring, where he maybe overperformed, but in Will Hall's system, it seems to be a much better fit, you know, coming from West Virginia. I think Lowe has a chance to be a real stud at Southern Miss.
Yeah, I'm not going to tab him all conference or anything, but he's got a chance to be a good quarterback in Conference USA. I think what's so weird about this is that Trey Lowe has never had a football spring practice. This was his first spring practice this season. The high school at West Virginia, he was always playing baseball in the spring. So this is kind of an opportunity for him to really have a good year and a half devoted to college football, to where he can maybe thrive. I think we saw a little bit of sign of what we can expect out of him against FAU. He had a good spring. He can be better. But, yeah, if he gets hurt, that really puts Southern Miss in a very tough position. Even if Ty Keyes comes in and sets the world on fire, you want to have 3 or 4 quarterbacks. And I, you know, outside of Lowe and Keyes, it's hard to see anybody really capable of stepping in, say, starting, you know, 5 or 6 ball games.
Best sports writer in Mississippi, Patrick McGee, and you should subscribe just like he encouraged you to do during the course of the interview. Patrick, we appreciate you sharing your Friday with us. We'll have you back on your regular spot next week, and thank you for all you do for the Eagle Hour.
All right. Yeah, thank y'all, guys. Y'all do a great job.
All right. Patrick McGee, everybody, Biloxi Sun-Herald, the best sports writer for Southern Miss Sports, no question. Going to wrap it up. Got a special guest in the studio, really special guest, Kelly Sander. We'll be back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Patrick McGee and Larry Fedora for giving us a delightful Friday afternoon show. I know Kelly's enjoyed it just as much as I have. Really fun talking to these guys, right, Kelly?
Yeah, you know, Larry Fedora, when he was early on the job, I was saying his son Dylan, you know, played football right over here at Oak Grove High School, and he came up, I was doing play-by-play for Super Talk. With Oak Grove, and Larry Fedora, you know, came up into the booth and sat next to me and was talking to me. And all of a sudden, there were like this flood of people around the press box. And I was thinking, oh, you want to see the old Sandman, huh?
I don't think that's
what No, they were all there to get Coach Fedora's autograph. So,
all right, Kelly, you got a little baseball news from the Golden Eagle camp.
Yeah, there's lots of things going on in college baseball today, Bob, as the season now officially over, coaches making changes and so on. But Southern Miss has lost an assistant coach, Nick Amirati, who has been hired by the University of Kentucky as an assistant coach up there, the volunteer assistant coach. Of course, he was played at Mississippi State as a catcher, but was very instrumental in this past season in helping the Golden Eagles get to where they were. So we wish Nick Amirati best of luck as he travels to Lexington, Kentucky, where he will now become a Kentucky Wildcat. In other baseball teams across the South, Nichols has named a new head coach. Mike Silva has been named the head coach of the Colonels. Silva, for the last year, was the associate head coach at Louisiana Tech under a former Southern Miss coach, who's, and I always forget the coach's name, at Louisiana Tech. Somebody will text it to me. Anyway,
I'm not going to help.
Yeah, Mike Silva now, the head coach at Nichols. And Seth Thibodeau, who was at Nichols for a long, long time, has now gone to Louisiana Lafayette, where he will be an assistant coach there. There, Lane Burroughs is the name I couldn't come up with. Thank you. And I never come up with Lane Burroughs' name. But Seth Thibodeau now at Louisiana Lafayette from Nichols State, where he served as a head coach for a long time. In fact, the baseball field at Nichols is named after Coach Thibodeau. He got fired the past season going to Louisiana Lafayette. And Southern Miss golfer Valentina Hout. She's a graduate now of Southern Miss, but becomes the first woman with Southern Miss ties to play in an LPGA event. She's playing this weekend at the 2021 Marathon Classic in Sylvania, Ohio. So another Golden Eagle breaking a barrier there, the first female golfer in Southern Miss history to play in an LPGA event. We wish Valentina the best of luck.
All right, former Southern Miss great Austin Davis, NFL quarterback, now quarterback coach with the Seattle Seahawks, coaches Russell
Wilson. I wasn't going to help you.
I've caught the Kelly problem here today.
Yeah, I wasn't going to help.
Coaches Russell Wilson. He'll be on the show Monday, and then the Perfect 10, the one of the really great college quarterbacks in NCAA history, fair to say,
and
Reggie Collier.
And certainly great. But I don't know if he would be as great as this guest that we have in the studio right now.
We have a very special guest in the studio, actually making his second appearance on the Eagle Hour. And this is Towns Joseph Getty from Jacksonville, Florida. Towns, how are you today? Uh-oh, shyness is taking. Come on now, you got to speak up. This is your big opportunity.
He's pulling a Cindy Brady on us.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he won't talk. He's got his hands covered, covering his mouth. Towns was entertained earlier today, as I was, by Kelly, who, those of you that don't know him, Kelly's a pretty entertaining guy in a strange, strange way.
Yes.
And he pulled one of his odd riddles with us earlier today. Towns, were you a little amazed the way I was about the riddle Kelly pulled?
Yes.
It was very odd, wasn't it?
Okay, you're supposed to say yes again.
Yes, say yes again.
Yes.
Okay. Kelly, what did you do? Can you explain that real quick?
Obviously, this must, the lack of willingness to speak must come from the mother's side.
It is,
right?
Yes. It doesn't come from my side, that's certainly for sure. Because if I couldn't speak, I couldn't make a living. That's about all I know how to
do. But controversy running amok in the Getty family, where Towns lives in Jacksonville. And I asked him if he was a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, and of course I expected him to say no.
He said no.
And I said, well, then obviously being a Getty, you must be a fan of the Washington Redskins. But he said...
What did you say, Towns? Yes?
No.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking. Well, I got plenty of time to work on him. He's going to be here for about 10 days. So,
it just shows you how much smarter kids are today than they were back then.
They know better than to get involved with the Redskins or the Bengals or teams like that. Well, Towns, we're glad to see you. And next time, try not to talk so much, okay? Towns?
Okay.
So we had a yes, a no,
and an okay.
And an okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? We have about 30 seconds left.
He's probably out of gas because he's been running that mouth the whole hour.
Have you got anything else you'd like to contribute to the show?
What are your thoughts on global thermonuclear war, Towns? That's what I thought, like most of America.
Oh, that was it right there. Well, we appreciate Towns' input on the show.
Boy.
And we appreciate Larry Fedora's input. That was a great interview, wasn't it? That was fun.
Yeah, and when you told him I was a Bengals fan, he said, boy, you've been suffering through a lot of bad football.
Everybody that hears that has the same amount of sympathy for you. All right, Austin Davis on the show Monday. We had a lot of fun this week, and I appreciate Kelly coming in the studio with us. Kelly, until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. Everybody have a great weekend.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.